The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit RobBlack.com. RobBlack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Welcome in, Rob Black and your money. I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial. 424, April 24th. Wow. Again, the year goes by quickly. I feel like that Jimmy Kimmel skit. I don't know if you noticed it, but every first day of the month, he pans through all the local news and having the anchor saying, wow, April 1st. Wow, it's April 1st. Man, the year's going by fast. I guess I'm guilty of that too, huh? Anyhow, positive responses to earnings from influential names like Tesla, Visa, AT&T, Humana, and Texas Instruments. Markets are moving a little bit higher. It's not a broad move in any way, shape, or form because the Dow's down slightly. The NASDAQ is up about 0.6%, and the S&P 500 is up fractional, about one-fifth of 1%. Russell's barely up. So even though there's some positive reactions, it's not broad-based, in my opinion. What's nice, though, is that the earnings were positive on a broad-based level. Tesla, obviously automotive company, tech company, Visa, financial company, AT&T, telecommunications, Humana, healthcare, Texas Instruments, semiconductors. Jump in market rates today. That is something that we've been contending with. And it's a little bit of a headwind on the stock market. You want tailwinds, you don't want headwinds. I think when you're sailing is the right way of putting it. So we're going to sail higher. A headwind is negative. The 10-year treasury sits at 4.64%. The gains in mega caps and chip makers are helping as well today. The mega cap growth index and the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index are doing well on the strength of Tesla's and Texas Instruments quarter. We are in earnings season. This afternoon, we get Meta. Last quarter, 90 days ago, roughly, Meta reported solid numbers and reported a dividend. Although tiny, it was showing you that they're a maturing company that wants you to pay you for holding their stock long term. I kind of like that. NVIDIA got some news yesterday that was positive. Tesla CEO said there will be continued demand for the chipmaker's hardware to power artificial intelligence systems. Tesla or NVIDIA is going to be reporting their own numbers down the road. They're a few weeks off. We are in a show me the money kind of market. If you think of Tom Cruise in the Show Me the Money movie, that's where we are. Show me the money. So you got to be aware of that. Some rules are no one really knows what's happening. We had five up months followed by a month that's kind of bumpy on the downside. We've had a period where we had six down days. Now we've recovered from that, but we're not hitting our all-time high. So it's a show me market if you want to see it go higher. No one really knows what's happening. Some people, I don't have a mom and dad anymore. They're dead. This is a little bit grim of me to say, but if they were alive, I might say, Mom, Dad, you might be safer in 10-year treasury notes that are yielding 5%. I don't think you know, do you know what I'm saying? I might tell them to be on the sidelines of the S&P 500 weighted index. Maybe I'd tell them to be involved with the S&P 500 unweighted index. You want to be incremental when you get in the market. So I like the idea of scaling in. Scale into your positions. Don't trade all at once. You want to buy stock lower or market lower, but you're worried about falling stock prices. Buy some stock one-fifth at a time, one-third at a time. I've done that before with success. And the idea is if the stock or the index goes higher, you're happy and you're willing to buy a little bit more. If the stock or the index goes lower, you're happy getting it at a cheaper price and you're willing to buy a little bit more. I have continually throughout my life bought positions of great companies that I feel comfortable with. When I buy Visa, Apple, Microsoft, NVIDIA. Would I buy them again? Would I buy McDonald's over my lifetime? The answer is probably. Each stock's different, so don't take that to bank, okay? So you want to have some different ways of playing into the market. You know that some people don't know what's going on. And is a five-month run in the S&P reason for people to pull out? Like my parents? Sure. You want to be incremental when it's a bumpy market. You don't have to buy everything today. You want to monitor the VIX. The futures suggest sophisticated investors are uneasy, especially around the presidential election. If you're sanguine, you might be the fool in the game of probabilities and risk that the essence of the markets is changing on you. This is going to be a volatile year with the election coming up. The way the parties are going, they don't really work together. So there is a big difference in policies that they set and tax rates that are loopholed or allowed going forward. Bad investors think of ways to make money. Good investors think of ways not to lose money. In a volatile market, you want to have conviction. If you have conviction in time, you won't have the concerns of your position. Do I think Microsoft will still be Microsoft in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now? Yes. And honestly, in that period of time, I don't know where the 10-year treasury is going to be. Probably a little bit lower. I don't know what's going to happen with foreign events and wars around the world. But in some of the names that I have that are large positions where I would feel like a fool if they went down, if the markets went down, I do option overlay strategies. I actually have a professional group do it for me so that I'm earning added income because it's a large position and I don't want to wait for it to recover as much as I want it to pay me now, as well as pay me later when it does recover. I think you're getting the idea of what I'm going at with this. If you're wealthy, this is a different formula than is if you're creating wealth. Creating wealth, you love volatility on the downside. If you're wealthy, downside means you got to wait for it to come back to feel wealthy again. So there's tensions between stocks and bonds right now, for sure. If you're wealthy, I highly recommend using a institution that can get you option overlay strategies. And oftentimes I talk about how I use it with companies like Apple and Microsoft. But you could actually use it with the S&P 500 and if Costco. But let's use S&P 500, for example. Let's say you want the exposure of the S&P 500, but you don't want the downside of it. Well, you're going to get the downside if you own it. But you can offset that with an options overlay strategy where you're getting on a large enough position, 250,000, 500,000. You're getting income streaming in from that. Something you should consult and talk to with your CFP. I highly recommend it. Listen to this. Tiger Woods is going to receive up to a $100 million equity payment for staying loyal to the PGA. He's kind of at the tail end of his career, right? And the PGA loves having the camera on him at tournaments. So he's getting $100 million. I wonder how that's going to make the golfers who don't get that, who stayed around, feel. You can find me online at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com. I'm doing an event coming up May 9th in Palo Alto, plenty of room because we're 3 weeks away. But just sign up today. It's a good idea because the event does fill up. And it's probably, like I said yesterday, probably I'm only going to be doing these events for 18 more months and then switching formats. I show up at 5:30. The event starts at 6:30. It's 6:30 to 8:30. I stay an extra hour. Wealth preservation and retirement planning with CFP Chad Burton. Sign up at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Maybe you feel like you're in good shape for retirement, but have you really taken everything into account? Find out how you're really doing at a wealth preservation and retirement planning event May 9th in Palo Alto, hosted by Rob Black and CFP Chad Burton of EP Wealth Advisors. Rob will provide timely commentary, and Chad will share specific strategies for taxes, income, long-term care, safe money, retirement products, alternative investments, estate protection goals, and more. If you have at least $500,000 in investable assets and want to retire better, pass on your estate, and minimize taxes, this event is for you. Find out if you're on the right track at this free wealth preservation and retirement planning event. That's Thursday evening, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge in Palo Alto. Space is limited, so sign up today at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Pretty cool story. There's a bar called Bra that's getting ready to set up, I think, franchises. It's a sports-focused bar for women's sports. There's already one open in Portland, Oregon. It's called the Sports Bra. It's the first of its kind sports bar that focuses on women's sports. I love this idea. Behind every good investment is a good idea, right? I remember being a child and going into a sports bar and watching sports on the TV in the corners. Maybe it was an airport. And just gleefully going, wow, look at that soccer guy. I could be that. So having an area where young women can go and grab some nachos and some sodas and enjoy sports. The adults can sit at the bar and have a beer. I really like the idea. So with the Sports Bra that opened in 2022, they kind of got in on a great concept because they saw what was happening in women's sports. Earlier this month, the NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship game pulled in a record 18.7 million viewers. I was having lunch that day and someone came in and asked the owner, hey, Jerry, you going to show the game tonight? He goes, whoa, what game? And he goes, oh, yeah, we're showing that. And I really like that. And to think that the little girls in my community going there to, you know, typically not even a sports bar, let alone a sports bra, a sports bar for women, sports. I thought that was a kind of cool story. And congratulations to women's sports. Really more than earning their way into the concept of let's go watch a game. Because they've been solid. Their sporting has been solid. Let's talk about some stocks. Earlier in the show, I talked about Texas Instruments. The stock's up 7%. They exceeded first quarter expectations. This has long been a laggard, not necessarily a loser, but not necessarily a winner either. The company gave ranges of the current performance and included consensus forecasts from analysts. They beat in revenue and earnings. It was a pretty nice quarter for Texas Instruments. Visa shares of the payment company rose 2% after stronger than expected results. Visa earned an adjusted a total of $8.78 billion in revenue, up 10% year over year. I own shares of Visa. It's one of those companies that I really like for the long term. Mizuho is upgrading Airbnb today, giving it a $200 price tag, saying it has 24% upside. Mizuho is saying there's a lot of catalysts, including a potential launch of sponsored listings and incremental demand from Summer Olympics. Again, I own Airbnb as a play on the younger generations. I am Generation X, but the millennials and Generation Y and Generation Z, they don't really like the idea of going and staying in a small hotel room. My generation did it because that was the only option. Now there's more options where you can rent someone's house for about the same price. I know that to be true in luxury areas like Tahoe. Yes, there are some problems, and those problems include local legislations. Government saying, we don't really like our workers to be pushed out of the market because people are rich like Rob and have a vacation home that they turn into an Airbnb. For the record, I don't do that. But I think the idea is that, yeah, there is some opposition. You should know that, right? Hotels say there's opposition. They've lobbied hard against companies like Airbnb and letting them have full run of the factory floor, so to speak, in hotels. The thing that I really like about Airbnb is younger people like them. And the Airbnb doesn't have hotels. They don't own the buildings. So it is a very profitable business. I agree with Mizuho on this call. I own shares of Airbnb for the record. Tesla, I think they had a down awful quarter. But stock's up 10% plus. CEO Elon Musk said Tesla plans to start production of a new affordable EV by early 2025. We'll see. He's talked about things that he's going to do in the past that have never come to fruition, or that we're still waiting on, or that took 6 to 7 to 8 years after the announcement. Tesla disappointed on first quarter earnings, posting 45 cents in adjusted earnings per share on $21 billion in revenue. Tesla's revenue drop, the steepest year-over-year decline since 2012, came amid slowing EV growth across the industry, which has led Tesla to implement price cuts in an attempt to spur demand. Their margins are going down. They're firing employees, which is actually a really good thing when you have demand going down. I get it. Downside is they're looking more and more like a car company than a tech company. They have a lot of technology in their batteries and their battery making facilities. I still think that's a component that's intriguing. But the EV itself is no longer intriguing to me with them. Even though they're still growing in the U.S., it's still growing off of very low numbers. They could be exponentially favorites. If he were to say that he's selling X or leaving X, I think you'd see a big boost in the stock, as if his opinions aren't so important to the world, people's money and my money is important to me. I want to put it with a leader who's focused, not with a leader who has issues with transgender and has to tell the whole world about it. You are allowed to have any opinion that you want. Just don't spend a lot of time with my money invested in your company while you're distracted. What other big stories are there? Boeing. Boeing posted a narrower than expected loss in its latest results. Kind of a surprise on the upside, to be quite honest with you, because there's so many bad headlines thrown around at Boeing right now. Company reported a loss of $1.13 a share. The revenue of $16.57 billion topped expectations for $16.2 billion. Again, I don't know if you can own that company until they get a new executive, a new direction in the company, and they start kind of getting a bill of clean health from regulators on their planes being safe. That's a lot of what's called headline risk. You can do pretty well if you kind of laugh at headline risk. For sure, I get it. If it turns out well for you, just know there's risk. You can find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show. I'm Rob Black.
Questions about Social Security? Check out the Social Security Retirement Guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
Welcome back in, Rob Black and Your Money. Been on the air for almost 30 years. It's crazy. 28 years, with over 20 of those being shared on this microphone by briefing.com's one and only Patrick O'Hare. He checks in on Wednesdays and gives us his perspective on the markets. He's kind of a front man for me to Briefing, because I use Briefing all the time. So, kind of go-to app at the start of the day and at the end of the week. And in the middle, I read through my favorite in play, because there's so much information there, but let's not talk about that right now. Let's bring in Patrick O'Hare, briefing.com. Patrick, how are you?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing fine, thanks.
Now, one of the things that I just alluded to as I start my day looking at your stuff, page one, today I didn't do that. I stayed on the stock market update page, so I kind of knew what was going to happen with Tesla and Visa, Humana reporting better than expected earnings. We're in earnings season. What are your thoughts on how earnings season is going so far, Mr. O'Hare?
Well, it's I guess just okay. You know, wasn't expecting you know, a lot of growth to begin with coming into the end of the reporting period. And you know, you have companies that are kind of sounding a little bit more cautious minded, perhaps, as far as their view of the economic situation. It's not that they're saying bad things, it's just that I think they're just turning to, you know, a bit more conservative. And I think that that's kind of, you know, also fitting in place with the broader stock market, kind of being a little bit more discerning, really, in terms of, you know, what it's willing to pay for earnings, because we've had such a strong run. So you have many stocks that saw stretch valuations coming into this earnings reporting period. And so the kind of the, even though the actual earnings bar itself isn't, you know, that high, you know, the bar of expectations or the bar to get past those expectations is a bit higher, I think. And so kind of had a market that's been sort of, a bit more skittish looking these days.
Well, we got that. We got a president who's on trial, and we have the presidential election coming up later in the year. Any gut thoughts? And I know it's still pretty early. I think the favorable opinions on both. I think everyone kind of would like younger politicians. I'm not speaking for everyone when I say that, but that's the vibe I'm getting from financial media. And then I heard a big banker yesterday, I believe Jamie Dimon, say, hopefully in the next administration, Republicans and Democrats will work with each other and include each other in their cabinets. Any thoughts on the political, I guess, dysfunction and how that's playing out on Wall Street and making your job of crystal balling it a little bit tougher?
Yeah, I think everyone is probably bracing themselves for what's going to be an ugly presidential campaign for various reasons. Things you've just mentioned are right. I'm hearing, the same things. And it's just kind of bizarre right now that, that one of the candidates is on trial. So I think that, in the midst of all this, too, you hear about potential, proposals such as, increasing tariffs, if President Trump were to get reelected. I think people are expecting President Biden to continue to put forth more liberal-minded policies that, of course, involve more spending. And so then you obviously get into worries about the deficit and the national debt and that issue. But not a lot of, I think, not a lot of color yet around specific campaign platforms. It's kind of a lot of bluster right now in terms of, what one side will do better than the other one, but, nothing too specific. And so I think that the market right now is getting more, it's basically more preoccupied with the geopolitical situation than it is with the domestic political situation at the moment. And understandably so. In general, though, I don't think the market has allowed the domestic political scene to unduly influence it yet. Still keeping an eye on what's happening in the economy. It's more preoccupied with the Fed than it is with Republicans and Democrats. And I think it's taking its cues more from what the Fed is saying and more from what it's seeing in the economic data and what that might portend for the earnings growth outlook.
So in your page one column, you mentioned two articles that I'm not really great at understanding, and I've been doing this a long time. It's the $70 billion five-year note auction today with results coming around 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And the durable goods orders report. Now, I know durable goods, and I have enough of a grasp on it. It's tough for me to explain to listeners or viewers. Can you tell me why we should care about those two events?
Well, sure. So with respect to the auction, what I mentioned a little bit earlier, right, we have a deficit. It continues to grow. Treasury needs to fund itself. So it brings, it issues debt to the public to help, fund that deficit. And you need to care about this because if the demand is weak at the auction, it will drive up interest rates. And that, of course, has a carry-on effect in terms of, adversely impacting all sorts of things, demand for growth, the ability to raise capital, and it, becomes a growth impediment with higher interest rates. So what you want to see is strong demand at that auction that doesn't upset the apple cart, so to speak. We had a good two-year note auction yesterday that was met with some very strong demand, and I think that you saw that the Treasury market liked that, as did the stock market. With respect to the durable goods orders report, I mean, this is hard data. And what I mean by that is that it's actual quantifiable information. It's not survey-based data, where someone gets asked a question, are you feeling good today or bad today? A lot of that answer depends a lot on what the person's thinking at that specific point in time. And so there's a little more wiggle room when you look at survey data. But a durable goods orders report you know, looks at things like machinery orders, fabricated metal products, metals, computers and electronics, motor vehicles and parts, right? These are all, you know, manufactured goods that will give someone a good sight line in terms of what's happening with demand for these durable goods. And that has an impact in terms of what economists think the economy is doing, and it also factors into GDP computations with the shipments component for what's called non-defense capital goods orders, excluding aircraft. That's a proxy for business spending, and shipments for that particular item factor into GDP computations.
I'll have to re-listen to this on the podcast later today in the broadcast. I always like to give you the last couple minutes to go where you want to go to explore and maybe to expand some of your thoughts to show us what you're thinking and maybe why. I know you have the big picture column that comes out on Fridays. Great read. And again, I still enjoy reading. I'm glad you're not a podcast for me. Like, I'm a podcast for a lot of people in a radio show because the reading is so tactile. I like it. And you're a great writer. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. And you're right. You know, the big picture column published, you know, Friday afternoon takes a look at kind of those big picture items that are influencing the behavior of the capital markets. The last one I published on Friday was kind of a retrospective view of the existing home market. I said retrospective because I talked about it in July and made a case then for why, you know, prices are going to stay high despite, you know, high mortgage rates. It kind of boils down to really low supply in the existing home market. That didn't really change at all in terms of what we saw in the latest existing home sales report. Prior to that, talked about how investors might want to shed some risk in that there wasn't really much of a risk premium to be gained in terms of putting money to work in the stock market versus a risk-free instrument like the Treasury note. This week, you know, I'm kind of letting the market come to me, if I can say as much, because there's a lot that's going to be coming out here, obviously this week with all of the earnings news, with, you know, what is still kind of being, you know, settled in the geopolitical environment, and then obviously what we're going to get in the personal income and spending report on Friday, which is going to contain the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, which is that core PCE price index. You know, we've had a market that's kind of been very preoccupied with whether the Fed's going to cut rates now at all this year, and that core PCE price number will certainly have market moving potential because it will influence the market's perception of whether that, you know, whether the Fed will cut rates, how many times it might possibly cut rates. So I expect there to be quite a bit of activity here toward the end of the week, as really beginning today, even with Meta Platforms reporting after the close, and then you get Microsoft and Alphabet reporting after Thursday's close. So a whole lot of information coming our way, and I just kind of need to take a step back, take it all in, and then kind of determine, you know, what is the, quote, big picture topic for this week.
Do you remember what happened 90 days ago with Meta?
With Meta 90 days ago, I think it probably had a great earnings report and took off.
Up 20% after introducing a dividend. So that was, you had the great earnings report right. But that's kind of interesting seeing in our lifetime how some of these companies are starting to mature give dividends. We don't really have enough time to tackle the topic, but maybe in the future we'll talk about a retrospective of our 25 plus year career together and how some of these companies have changed in our lifetime. Thank you very much. That'll be fun. It's Patrick O'Hare, briefing.com, a reliable source for domestic international news that you can use. His page one is so good. He starts with talking about the Dow components, Visa, Humana, Hilton, AT&T, Biogen, all kind of lightening the mood today from the dark streak of losses on Wall Street. He's a great writer. Page one, big picture, but they also have so many other calendars and reports that you can use. I highly recommend checking out briefing.com, the market view, the swing trader, the technical take. There's things that I don't use in it, but there's a lot that I do. The Fed brief, the rate brief, and much, much more with big strategies and big pictures. I really like the in play, which is all the breaking news throughout the day. It takes me longer to run into that news than I can have time to admit. You can find out more information at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com. Check them out at briefing.com. That's briefing.com.
This interview featured on The Rob Black Show is brought to you by EP Wealth. Learn more at robblack.com.
One of the lessons that I've learned through the years is that there's more than one way to make money. Sometimes you can make money by not participating in the upside and allocating your assets or allocating your cash, your time into some alternatives. I like professionally managed alternative real estate. I like professionally managed alternative equity, private equity. I'm not against gold. I just wouldn't expect gold, who has been a winner in the last 6 months, to continue to be the winner. I don't own any gold. I'm not against people owning gold. I don't own any Bitcoin. I'm not against people owning Bitcoin. As long as it's 1% to 5% of your portfolio, if inflation hits or if it still lingers, which some people, not many, but a very minor select few are saying pretty loudly, inflation may be here for another 3 or 4 years. And you may want to go to Costco and get you one of those gold bars. Now, what a lot of people don't know is, when are you going to sell your gold bar? You're going to sell it back to Costco? No, they won't take it. So you're going to be paying a markup when you sell it. I'd prefer you own GLD, which is a play on the price spot of gold, versus owning something and putting it in your house. I think that's for fools, especially since it's the size of kind of a pinky fingernail. And one day your kids are going to be cleaning out your house after you forgot where you put it because you've got Alzheimer's disease. I know it's Alzheimer's, but as a kid, I didn't know that. And they'll go, what's this little speck of gold? Oh, mom just bought it. We don't know. Just throw it away. Fools. That's $2,000 kind of thing. So I don't want you piling into gold if you're a senior and you expect it to continue to go higher. I want you to consider gold or Bitcoin if you're younger and you have time, just like you should give time to an S&P 500 fund or NVIDIA or Microsoft or Apple or any big name out there. You're not finding a lot of value out there, so you have to give them time to continue to do their big company things. Apple is going to report numbers soon. One analyst that I'm reading says if Apple stocks continue to underperform, the analyst at Wells Fargo reckons buying the dip ahead of some potential positive catalyst. This is what moves Wall Street: catalysts. Now, we all know that Apple's struggling in China. There's a lack of clarity over general artificial intelligence, competition with lowered price offerings, the headset's not selling terribly well. How poorly is it selling? I just pulled some numbers on it. The Apple Vision Pro, let's see, I'm missing it. Let's see if I can find it quickly enough. For the 2024 Vision Pro shipments, they've cut to 400 to 450,000 units versus 700,000 plus was the market consensus. U.S. demand has fallen sharply beyond expectations. It's easy to get an appointment to see the technology. And although the technology is impressive, there's not a lot of apps for it at this point in time. Remember, the Apple iPhone didn't take off until they started coming out, not they, but developers started coming out with ways to use the phone, like GPS and map services. So anyway, back to Wells Fargo. They said, we kind of know all this. The negatives. Artificial intelligence questions, we don't really know. Competition with lower priced offerings, we do know. China is a problem. And I think China is going to continue to be a problem. I think they've kind of slipped into a Japan problem where their growth just isn't there right now and they're aging. Confidence in a general AI strategy could be a positive catalyst for Apple. The company expects to give a generative AI update at the World Developers Conference on June 10th. So sometime before June 10th, this analyst at Wells Fargo is saying that could be a catalyst. He has a $225 price target on the stock, which is a 35% upside from the close this week. He's not the only one thinking that AI announcements from the company will provide a much-needed boost to investor sentiment. Bank of America Analyst Securities released a note on Monday that said a rich catalyst path with defensive cash flow makes Apple a top pick for 2024. They too see a $224 target with the launch of new phones in the fall, a reacceleration gross profit dollar growth each quarter. And one thing that I'll throw down there is the Apple Watch turns 10 this year. I think we're going to get, well, I'm not saying I think. Rumors are that we're going to get more health benefits into the viability of what health projects are going to be announced. And maybe even get some health benefits kicked into their AirPods. AirPods would be great at reading temperatures. Is any of those promises? No. It's like their car. 10 years in the making, never came to fruition until they got it. Strangely, that's a catalyst as well, because they're no longer to be sinking billions into a project that goes nowhere. If Apple were to announce a downsize in the workforce, that could be a catalyst. So you're looking for a catalyst. I'm not telling you what's going to happen because I don't know any better than you do. Maybe I know a little bit better because I'm always doing research on investments and ideas for you. But that's out there. Interesting. I read a personal finance article about Generation X, Z, and millennials might miss out on the great wealth transfer. 25 years ago, when I got into the industry with Chad Burton, we talked about how the baby boomers are getting older. And as they get older, they're going to leave us their houses and their 401ks and their assets they didn't spend in their lifetime. Now, at this particular time in history that I didn't know 25 years ago, almost 30 years ago, actually, inflation would be out of control, and I would never have figured out healthcare costs would be as high as they are. $400,000 on average for people in retirement, or a couple. Then you get long-term care and how that's going to eat up your premiums, or eat up your assets if you don't have it. Most don't. So a lot of boomers are living longer and eating up their wealth and not leaving it to their children. Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, or the millennials. Anyway, big event coming up, Wealth Preservation Retirement Planning, Thursday, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30, Palo Alto Elks Lodge, Palo Alto. You can sign up for the event at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com. I'm down to probably my last six events, and then probably more webinars. I don't know. You can sign up for Wealth Preservation Retirement Planning, 6:30 to 8:30. Palo Alto Elks Lodge at robblackshow.com, May 9th.
Maybe you feel like you're in good shape for retirement, but have you really taken everything into account? Find out how you're really doing at a wealth preservation and retirement planning event May 9th in Palo Alto, hosted by Rob Black and CFP Chad Burton of EP Wealth Advisors. Rob will provide timely commentary, and Chad will share specific strategies for taxes, income, long-term care, safe money, retirement products, alternative investments, estate protection goals, and more. If you have at least $500,000 in investable assets and want to retire better, pass on your estate, and minimize taxes, this event is for you. Find out if you're on the right track at this free wealth preservation and retirement planning event. That's Thursday evening, May 9th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge in Palo Alto. Space is limited, so sign up today at robblackshow.com. That's robblackshow.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.